Blog Talk Radio.
What seems like the wildest campaign season in modern history is just the forerunner to electing the next president of the United States. Nearly 20 candidates stepped into the political arena last year with their pledges, promises, and possibilities. Now only 5 are left standing, and the race tightens and narrows each and every day. Clinton, Sanders, Cruz, Trump, and Kasich all have angles and agendas that you need to study. Not your mom, dad, cousin, or colleague. You need to study each candidate so that you can make an intelligent decision in the voting booth. We'll walk you through 5 steps, a 5-step plan to help you determine your best candidate to lead these United States in 2017. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thank you so much for listening. We've been off the air for a little bit. I've been traveling for about 2 weeks, and I'm glad to be back here. Had to attend the funeral of Ralph David Abernathy III. He is the son of Reverend Ralph David Abernathy, who was the closest associate to Dr. King. And now, sadly, I've attended the father's funeral and now the son's funeral. It was quite a stately affair in Atlanta, 5 hours long, lots of dignitaries, John Lewis, Jesse Jackson, Kissimmee Reed, who is the mayor of Atlanta, and the list just goes on and on. They spoke. Donsley Abernathy, who is his sister, gave brilliant words, thoughtful words. She is an actor and just did a marvelous job, along with Wandalyn Abernathy, who sang just soulfully, sang, and Kwame Abernathy gave his comments, as well as the younger brother, and then the wife, beautiful wife. The children of Ralph Abernathy spoke, the children of Annette and Ralph Abernathy spoke. So it was just a really powerful event, and I'm going to be uploading some pictures that I took there and some of the video clips. I have a lot to really upload to my website because I've been gone quite a bit, and then I had our New England Annual Conference for the AME Church last week in Connecticut, so it's been a pretty busy time, but I am back, and I'm glad to be back. But I've been paying attention to politics, and I do want you to pay attention to the politics, because if you don't, they will affect you anyway. So you might as well have a say in what is going to take place and affect you, whether it's taxes or legislation or policies or how to get in the country, how to get out of the country. All of what we do in the world has something to do with politics. And if you live in the United States or if you trade with the United States, then you need to pay attention to the presidential campaign that's taking place. I'm a big one on voting, and I am regretfully saying that we had a local election here in the town that I live in on Monday. Because I was traveling, I was out of town and didn't get back until Monday night. The weather was very inclement. We had this surprise snowstorm. I was going 5 miles an hour, and I was not able to come back and vote in my town. That was probably the first time I have missed an election in maybe 10, 15 years or so. So I'm a really, really big one on voting. Fortunately, I did vote in the March primary, so I did participate with that, but I just couldn't get back here in time to vote in my local election. But elections are important, and I'm mentioning that because you're going to hear a lot about down ballot. And down balloting means that whoever are the candidates on both sides, the Democratic and the Republican side, are going to impact everybody who is voting, who is involved in the general election, who are partisan candidates, or either Democrats or Republicans. Whoever our front runners are, they will have an impact, positive or negative, on whoever else is running. Those include all those who are running in Congress, because we vote for them every 2 years, everybody who is running in your state elections who are partisan, whether they're Republican or candidate or Democratic, right down to ballot questions that are on place on your ballot. So in order to really understand what's going on locally, you need to have a good handle on what's taking place on the presidential team, the tickets that are going to be running on both Democratic and Republican side. Now, full disclosure, I am going to talk from both Democratic and Republican perspectives today. I like to do that even though I am a card-carrying Democrat and I am supporting Hillary Clinton. But that's not the point today. The point is to help you to understand how to intelligently vote for candidates and understand the issues of candidates who will represent your interests, not somebody else's interests, but your interests. That is the key point. Now, I'm focused on two political parties. I understand there are other parties. There are independents. There's the Green Party. There are other parties, and there are lots of other candidates. We call them fringe candidates because the possibility of them becoming president are virtually nil, and I understand that. And I'm going to actually give you a web list. I have a whole list of websites where you can go and you can study up on all the other political candidates. But I'm talking about the people who are more than likely going to be, one of them is going to be our next president of the United States. We literally last year had close to 20 people who had thrown their hat in the ring, some longer, some shorter, 20 people combined on the Democratic and the Republican side. We were left with about 16 on the Republican side and 16 to 17 on the Republican side and 3 on the Democratic side, and that all that now has culled down to 5 candidates. And those candidates include Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, and John Kasich. So those are the 5 candidates that you should pay close attention to because they are the 5 candidates who will most likely be the candidate representing either the Democratic side or the Republican side. Now, another thing I want to remind you, and I've said this before, and I want to say it again, is it is important for you to vote in every election, not just the election that's taking place in November. There are, 20-some-odd more primaries or so. I have the list. I'll probably read off the list. These are primaries that still have not taken place in our election field. So, yes, please vote in November. Make sure that you're registered to vote in November and vote every 4 years, but vote every year, not just every 4 years. I cringe when I hear people say that they don't vote in every election. One reason why I don't feel so bad in missing my election that I should have voted in on Monday, first of all, my daughter did vote, and she lives in the same town I live in, so she did vote. But there was only one contested race. Everybody else, we were pretty much putting them back in office, so I didn't feel so badly. But I do vote routinely, and I would encourage you to vote routinely as well. So it's not just a matter of voting in November of this year, but also voting in the remaining primaries if you live in the following states. I'll read off this list. But next year, when you have local elections, next year when you have state elections, when you have elections that, you know, don't necessarily get the kind of publicity that typically people get, but just having a clear record and a routine record of voting in primaries, voting in local, state, county elections, because all of them matter. They all matter. So let me read to you the upcoming primaries that have not taken place yet. The next one will be a caucus on April 9th, and that will be a Wyoming caucus. It's a Democratic caucus. It is closed. and not probably not going to be able to read this whole list, but let me just quickly do it. On Tuesday, April 19th, there will be both Democratic and Republican primaries. They are closed. When I say closed, that means you can't be an independent and then pick up a ballot either on the Democratic side or the Republican side. If you're a Democrat, you can vote. If you're a Republican, you can vote. If you are an independent, you cannot vote in these primaries. You have to declare your party affiliation, I believe, before the election takes place. Go to your town halls and get those straightened out. But I know that independents can't vote in closed primaries. But the mechanics of it and the particulars, go to your town hall. They will give you those particulars. On April 26th, we have elections in Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island. And Rhode Island is the only, it says mixed here, I'm not sure what mixed means, but it may mean that one of them is closed, one of them is open. I believe that's probably what it is. Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, and Connecticut are all closed again. You have to have a party affiliation in order to vote. That's going to be a very big, New York is big on the 19th. On April 26th, that's also very big because those are big states with lots of delegates, and all of these candidates are looking to capture as many delegates as possible. Tuesday, May 3rd is Indiana. That's an open primary, so an independent can pick up either ballot and vote in either one of those primary elections. Guam is May 7th, and that's a Saturday. That's closed. And that's the Democratic primary. Tuesday, May 10th, is Nebraska is the Republican primary. West Virginia, both primaries, and Nebraska is closed. West Virginia is mixed. Again, one is closed, one is open. Tuesday, May 17th, is Kentucky and Oregon, and they are both closed. That's the Democratic primary for Kentucky. Both Oregon, Democrat and Republican, will take place. And I'm just going to read the rest of the list. May 24th, Washington, the state of Washington. June 4th, the Virginia, the Virgin Islands is a caucus. June 5th, Puerto Rico is a Democratic caucus. The Virgin Islands is also a Democratic caucus on the 4th. On the 5th is Puerto Rico, that's a Democratic caucus. And then on June 7th, California, very big one. That's a mixed primary, and that's 546 delegates. That's a big number. Then also on June 7th, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Dakota is a caucus, a Democratic caucus, and South Dakota. And then the last primary election on June 14th, is the District of Columbia. It is a Democratic primary election, and it is closed. Now, I have this entire list that I just read off of at my website. You can go to www.msconnect.com, msconnect.com. On the home page, scroll down to the bottom, and you can download the entire list that I just read off to you. So if you live in one of those respective states or territories or in Puerto Rico, then you can see the list for yourself. So that's the information that is important. Now, I want to share with you 5 points to help make this election become a reality for you and understand the mechanics of it. Number one is to understand the history of U.S. elections. U.S. elections have always been bawdy. They've been rancorous. There have been fights, particularly in the 1800s. What we are experiencing this year in 2016 is not an aberration. It is an aberration, let's say, for the last 20 years or 25 years, but it's not an aberration when you look at how deals were done and how things took place in the United States throughout the course of time in our country's history. I would say that the last rancorous election year that took place was 1968. I remember it. It was quite a year, and it was quite interesting to see on television, particularly the conventions. The Democratic convention was very, very cantankerous, should I say. There were people who were running. George Wallace was running. He was a segregationist candidate. That was one contention. You had the Vietnam War protesters. That was one contingency. There was the remnants and the smoldering ashes of Dr. King being killed, and then Bobby Kennedy being killed, and Fannie Lou Hamer making famous statements at the Democratic convention. It was quite a time. So I would say go back and Google and do some research on the Democratic National Convention of 1968. Very, very volatile time in our country's history. Now, in 1964, you had a very volatile time for the Republican Party. And it was during that time that there was a switch, a transformation, where the Dixiecrats were leaving the Democratic Party and switching over to the Republican Party, and the African Americans, who historically had been Republicans, were leaving the Republican Party. They were actually doing that a lot earlier, but they were leaving and they were becoming Democrats. So there was a political switch, ideology, ethnicity, etc., all of that taking place in the 60s. So that's our recent history, and it'll give you a sense of where we have come from. Now, in 1964, Barry Goldwater ran. And again, it was a very contentious race. I want to make sure that I'm giving you the right year. I'm pretty sure I'm looking it up right now to make sure that I'm giving you the right information. He ran. He was a Republican, an outsider, should I say, and it was quite an interesting time. I remember that race as well. Yes, Republican primary 1964, and he ran as the Republican candidate in 1964 and lost badly against LBJ, president, the vice president who was running as president. He had become president because President Kennedy had been shot and killed, and he was running now as president of the United States. He ran against Goldwater, a very contentious time period, particularly for the Republican Party. He was the presidential candidate in 1964. He lost against LBJ. So again, go back and study. That's recent history. That was 50 years ago. But go back to the 1800s, and boy, you talk about showtime. That was real showtime during that time. So we have a history of volatility, very strong words being used, and the like. And it certainly, this is not the first time we have seen candidates come out with vigor, with a lot of vigor. I would also say if you see the movie Lincoln, that'll give you a sense. That was based on the book by Doris Kearns Goodwin. Her book was A Team of Rivals, and you can actually see how the play off to the 1864 election and how that led up to the 13th Amendment being passed. So that's a good movie just to give you a sense of all those backroom deals and people who were paid off and just a lot of backroom stuff that took place in the 1800s. So the history of our elections in this country, quite interesting, quite amazing, and I would definitely encourage you to pay attention to them. Number two is to do some background checks on all these five candidates I've talked about now. If you're voting for somebody else, do a background check on that person. Find out what their history is. You can easily go do a Google search and find out the history of every one of these players. And I would suggest this. Go to their websites. Look at the information at each one. All of them have websites. Go to their websites, but go to an alternative site to find out biographical information about each one of these candidates. They're going to put all the good stuff on their websites. But you can find out other things at other websites, including Wikipedia, which does a fairly decent job of profiling individuals and people, so I would encourage you to do that. Why do I say that? So that you will know the facts for yourself. So often we're letting pundits tell us what we need to know, and you can find this information for yourself. So go and find out the background about all of the candidates, including where was Ted Cruz born, and why was he born in Canada, and did he have an American mother? Yes, he did. His father, yes, was from Cuba, but because his mother was American, he is considered an American citizen. So if you understand all that background information, then you'll be able to judge accordingly when statements are made alluding to the fact that he is not an American. That is not true. He couldn't run for president if he was not an American citizen. Now, the question is about naturalized, and that's the sticky point, and that's the fuzzy point, because he was not born on American soil, but he was an American citizen. So check out the backgrounds of all five candidates so that you can find out for yourself. Hillary Clinton, born in Chicago, but served a lot of time in Arkansas when she was married to Bill Clinton, and now New York is her home, even though they lived in Washington, D.C. for 8 years during the 90s. So knowing that kind of information. And knowing Donald Trump. Donald Trump is so big on immigration issues, but yet we fail to remember that his mother was a Scottish immigrant. And he has had two wives. He's had three wives altogether, but two wives who were not born in the United States who are immigrants, including his current wife. So, again, govern yourself accordingly with somebody who was so anti-immigrant issues, yet he has been married to two immigrants and his mother was an immigrant. Find out about Kasich, who was born in western Pennsylvania, blue-collar neighborhood, blue-collar community, but yet is the governor of Ohio. And the list goes, that's Kasich. That's John Kasich who's running for president. And then Bernie Sanders, born in New York. He's Jewish, his poor family, and yet spent a lot of time and has grown up and done a lot of leadership things in Vermont. And he never has been a Democrat. He's always been an independent. Why is he a socialist? Find out all that information. Number three is to read the foreign press. With this presidential election, you may get better news by reading the BBC than you will some of the local or the national newspapers. So mix up your reading so that you can read a compilation of news stories and articles that are published by representatives outside of the U.S. I've made it easy for you. And I have this in the chat room, if you're still in the chat room. But if you go to my website where this blog is posted, this radio blog is posted, tellcarole.com, TellCarole, or CarolCopelandThomas.com, and you can go to today's blog, that's the April 7th blog, and down at the bottom you can click and get a four-page article that I have created called Global Impact World Connection, Diversity in a Changing World, Websites You Can Use. So I have a list of 20-odd websites, a little description about each one, and I've covered international websites, Al Jazeera, ChinaDaily.com, Times of India, BBC, AllAfrica.com, all in this document that you can download. It's completely free of charge, and you'll be able to learn more. There's actually a Michael Moore movie about 2004, the youth vote of 2004, and it's a movie called Slacker Uprising. The website is there, and you can download that whole movie for free. So, again, there's so many resources out here. If you study, if you have a historical perspective, it will help you in making your decision about who to vote for, either in the primaries or certainly in the general election. Number four is to think about who would represent you as president. Remember, you should be voting your interests. It would be great if people didn't get so swept up in the rhetoric and the vigor and the comments, either positive or negative, of all of the candidates. Again, I'm obviously focused on Donald Trump, but all of the candidates. What are they saying? What are their policies? Have you gone to their websites and seen what their perspectives are in terms of, these are some of the issues you need to really think about: budgeting, spending, and the debt. Need to think about civil liberties and civil rights. You should think about education, energy and environment, foreign policy and defense, the free trade versus NAFTA versus the PPT, I believe that's it, that's also in the news right now. How does that all affect you? Not somebody else, but you and your family. Health care and entitlements, immigration issues, moral issues or ethical issues. How are these candidates really, when it comes to their own personal moral track record? The Second Amendment, the First Amendment, all of the amendments, let's say, but not just one particular amendment, but what is their viewpoint, particularly on the First and the Second Amendment, and that deals with gun control. Taxes, the economy, and then again, trade. So these are some of the issues that are going to be at all of their websites. You can go there, study them, make your own chart, compare them, so that you will be able to make an intelligent decision and so that you'll pick the candidate who best represents you and your family. I am amazed at the number of people who vote against their own interests. I'm just absolutely amazed with that. Why would you vote against your – why would you pick a candidate who is not going to help you? I know on two issues – President Barack Obama has personally helped me. Two major issues in my life and my family. His policies, his perspective on things, how he has worked with Congress to get bills passed. Two critical issues I have been the direct beneficiary of because of President Barack Obama. And that's why I voted for him. So you need to have that kind of relationship. You may never meet the President of the United States. I've come very close to Barack Obama on at least two or three occasions. I've never shaken his hand because I was busy taking pictures of him, but I've come close to him. But you need to have a informal relationship with the person who is going to help pay your taxes or help you pay your taxes or keep you employed, et cetera. And then number five is separate the courtship from the marriage. What that means is that you can hear all this rhetoric and song and dance from these candidates, but how are they going to govern? How are they going to govern? Are they going to govern in a way where they will be able to get bills passed, legislation will be passed, or is it going to be a standoff between the president and Congress? Because you know the laws are passed through Congress. So if you have a candidate who becomes president and he is totally alienated from Congress, absolutely nothing is. So those are the five things you need to really think about: understanding the history of U.S. elections, background check with each candidate, and that's really understanding where they come from, what their background is all about, reading the foreign press, and you can, again, get the information at my website, tellcarol.com, go to today's blog, and you can download it, and then thinking about who will best represent you and separate the courtship from the marriage. And they used to say date Dean and marry Carrie. That was the 2004 election. Neither one won. We had Bush again. But still, the point was the person who is going to govern is the person you need to really be serious about. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to talk politics again and again between now and the rest of the year. Have a great week or weekend. We'll see you later.